Again, for the Holy Spirit's presence, teach us, lead us into all truth, because, Father, we don't know anything outside of Jesus. And so we trust you, we love you, and we welcome your presence here. In his mighty name, everybody say amen. All right. Man, I'm chomping at the bits to get into tonight's teaching and to be with you. Last time we got together, we were where? The book of Revelation chapter 19. Yeah, we're in chapter 19. We're headed into 20. You're right about that. We're headed into 20. Look at your neighbor and just say, I'm so glad you're here tonight. We had a really good crowd Sunday morning, had some visitors, and God's just blessing us. Good to see Brother James was back in the house. I think he hadn't been here in over a year. Had some great comments from him after service, and his eyes were just like, wow. So he's used to come in here and eat. So it's an amazing thing God is doing. Revelation chapter 9, 19, last time we got together, this was our shouting time, the great climax of the book of Revelation and world history. So let's look at that real quick, just a few things. But I really got a lot tonight to give to you. And so, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Remember, I told you that was probably me. Come on, somebody. You need to say that's you. I mean, you know, a voice of much people, mega bunch of people in heaven. I believe heaven's going to be a loud place. If you don't like it loud now, I don't know what you're going to do. But it's going to be a loud place. And again, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. That should always be the opening part of our prayer. All praise, all honor, salvation, all that belongs to you. Remember that word honor there is so powerful because it means a price that has already been set. In other words, he's so worthy, he's already set the value of who he is. Our praise has to reach that value. You know when revival really hits a church? It's whenever your praise reaches his value. You ain't here with me. You really want to know where revival starts in your personal life. You really want to know when you're really moving in the things of God and you're entering into a deeper friendship with him, when your praise reaches the price of who he is. You say, how do you know that? Because the fallout is his glory. Come on, somebody. The fallout is his presence. The fallout is his goodness. I gotta go. All right. So verse 2, the hallelujah choir, man, they still praising God. They still worship him. If you don't like worshiping, if you get mad at church on Sunday morning, cause man, didn't they just do 4 songs and that was 25 minutes and 6 seconds, whatever. You know what? When you get to heaven, man, you're going to be praising God forever. Yeah, but I'll be in my glorified body. I know. But until then, just start blessing him. Until then, just start practicing. Amen. You'll get your glorified body someday. Amen. All right. So the choir director comes out. Verse 5. We know that. He comes out and says, time to praise the Lord. Verse 8, fine linen. Don't forget about the fine linen. You know, I may not be able to shop at Nordstrom's like Mary can, but I just threw that out at Mary. I may not be able to shop like you can to the places you go, but you know what? In heaven, we got fine linen. You know, let people make fun of your clothes now. Come on, let them say something about your holy jeans or your dungarees. That's okay. In heaven, we have fine linen. Oh, and then remember, it's going to be what? It's going to be white, brilliant, the transparency of the glory of God. So many great things are going to come up in the future for us and in our lives. So go to chapter 20. Let's get past all that. If you didn't get the CD or you weren't here, get the CD. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, let me just try to settle myself into this because I got lots and lots of good information for you. I got my writing board back up for now. Made a temporary little thing for it. And so I won't be using that, but in the future teachings, I'll be using it so that you can get some of these words and do your own study. How many of y'all like to do your own study? I love for you to do your own study. I love for you to get into the Word. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. This is Revelation Revealed, the teaching series. The first thing we're going to talk about is the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. And I'm going to give you several names for this so that we can have a running and a moving understanding of what this age is going to be. First of all, millennium is a Latin word for 1,000. It's a Latin word for 1,000. It's 1,000 years. So if somebody says the millennial reign, you know it's 1,000 years. Some people say it together, but it's one or the other, the millennial reign. It's the Latin word for 1,000, okay? Also, I want you to write this definition down because this is my definition for teaching. This is the kingdom of God manifested. This is the kingdom of God manifested. In other words, let me teach it this way. Yeah, I got plenty of time. Let me teach it this way. In other words, we are living right now in the framework of the kingdom. We're living in the framework of the kingdom. In other words, kingdom can touch earth now. The kingdom of heaven touches earth now. How do we know that? Because when Jesus went around doing signs, wonders, and miracles, he said, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh to you. And so when we're in this setting and we're in church and God's doing things and in your personal life and prayers are being answered, the kingdom is being manifested to you in a part and parcel, if you will. The totality of the kingdom will not come until what we're about to read. Isn't that right? And so I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. So right now we are living the kingdom, we're experiencing the kingdom, we're calling heaven down, but we don't have the totality of it. This right here that I'm going to read is the kingdom manifested. Say that with me, the kingdom manifested. The kingdom manifested, or the kingdom of God manifested. All right, so we go to verse 1. And I saw an angel. Now the word angel there is messenger in the Greek. Also means preacher. Can also be a type of living being. But I'm going to show you who I believe it is in a second. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now we taught earlier that what was given to the enemy, to the serpent, was a key to do what? Unlock the bottomless pit. Do you remember that? That was called what? The shaft that leads to the abyss. And so this most likely is the same key, and the key is now in the possession of this angel. Does everybody see that? Is that what the Bible's saying? So he came down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, I believe that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's several reasons for that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Keep your finger right there. Let's go real quick. We could quote it, but let's get our eyes on it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't hear just with your ears, you hear with your eyes. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, and which is to come. And then he says over here in verse 18, I am the one that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have what? The keys of hell and of death, or Hades. So who has the keys? Jesus has the keys. So flip back over to Revelation chapter 20. So I believe that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he would give us keys to the kingdom. Keys represent what? Authority, dominion. They also represent power. So this could be an angel, but I believe that it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry, which is a great commentary and a great scholar, also believes that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I don't believe that anybody has the authority in heaven, has the strength in heaven like Jesus does to take hold of that devil. Don't you agree? And if it turns out to be an angel, well, he's a pretty strong angel. Amen. But I believe it represents the Lord. And look what it says here. Has the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. You can guarantee this is literal interpretation. It is not imaginary. It's not illustrative or symbolic. He literally has a chain in his hand. Pretty powerful chain. And he laid hold on the dragon. He laid hold on the dragon. That word in the Greek there, laid hold of, literally means that he grabs him. He grabs him with violence. He grabs him with force. Again, the greater one is Jesus. Amen. So he grabs him. He lays hold. And he basically, I said this in my notes, he manhandles the dog. He manhandles the dog. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. You know why God gave him so many different titles? So we'd all know this is who he's talking about. You know, you ever seen a lineup? They want to ID that person. They give them first name, last name, and AKA. God says, I want you to understand, this is the old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Bound him 1,000 years. Now, these are literal 1,000 years. These are literal years. They're not symbolic. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Y'all ready to go home? And just shut him up. Y'all ought to shout right now. Just shut him up. Took him, grabbed him, threw him into the pit, and shut him up. Woo, that's revival right there. Amen. How many of y'all like the devil to shut up in your life? Well, you got to get the stronger one in there. Amen. Get Jesus in there. So he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and did what? He set a seal upon him. So here's the picture. We're at the kingdom of God being manifested on the earth. Jesus comes, takes the serpent, takes the old devil, takes that lion devil and puts him in a pit, throws him into a pit, puts the chain around him and seals it up for 1,000 years. And it says this, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I want you to write that down. He must be loosed a little season, or put an underline or something on there, because we're going to come back to that purpose in just a few minutes. So he shut him up. He shut him up. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. If you'll go there real quick, says this, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Do you see that? The key of David. And he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. So in other words, when this seal, when this chain, when this final shut up of the devil takes place, he can't get out. He's got no way on his own authority to get out. Don't you know that's going to be a day of revival? Don't you know that is when truly the kingdom of God is manifested? Because right now we have the kingdom in part. We have the kingdom in partial manifestation, but we still have an adversary who buffets us and fights us and torments and wrestles with us. Why? So that we cannot enjoy the fullness of what God has given us. Amen. But our goal and our desire is to have the fullness of God in our lives. So that's why we have to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So in other words, we still got to fight that devil. But here it's over. Verse 4. So keep that in mind. Keep that in your mind. It's very important that he must. Look at verse 4. You ready? And I saw thrones. And I saw thrones. This word throne here means seats. There were seats. And they were really called seats of authority. He said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Well, let's stop for a second and see what this is talking about. So now the apostle is looking at these thrones, which are basically seats of authority, and it says judgment was given unto them. In other words, the ability to reign and rule and to govern was given to those who were sitting on those seats. So when you think of thrones, don't necessarily think of a king's throne that towers over everyone else's. Think of seats of a council. Think of those type of seats of authority. You ever been to a city council meeting? It's pretty intimidating when they're all round like that, you know. That's kind of what we're looking at, because there's only one main throne. Come on, somebody. And that's where the king sits. But these are thrones. These are seats of authority. And who is this? This is you and I. This is you and I sitting in our seats of authority, sitting in our seats of government. Isn't that awesome? Oh, let me read some more, because some of y'all are just like, what? How'd they get my lazy boy in heaven? No, this is a throne. This is a seat of authority, man. This is where you and I have the opportunity to govern with God. Let's look at it again. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. In fact, I'll read the whole thing. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we have those who are already in their throne seated, and then we have those who had gone through the tribulation period who have now been resurrected and now have been given life, and they're reigning and ruling with Christ. Isn't that awesome? Now, let me give you some scripture to kind of bear that out. Hold your finger right there and just go to 1 Corinthians. Let's begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this okay? You didn't know you was going to be reigning and ruling. You thought you're playing harp and bingo and shuffleboard in heaven, right? No, man, we're going to be doing some awesome things. During the millennial reign, I hope that by the time I leave you with this, you're going to understand your purpose as a Christian. And your purpose of a Christian is not just to go to church. It's more than that. Way, way more than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse 3. Know you not that we shall judge who? Angels. How much more things, or more things that pertain to this life? He says, look, we're going to judge angels. Why are we so worried about the small stuff? We're going to judge angels. Why are we worried about what somebody says to us? Come on. Why? We're going to judge angels. Why do we care if somebody said dislike or like on Facebook? There's people that pull their hair out because I mean, let me tell you something. It doesn't make a difference. As long as I'm pleasing God, as long as my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He likes me. But look what it says. Know you not that we shall judge angels? Verse 4. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to the life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. Look at verse 5. I speak to your shame. It is so that there's not a wise man among you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. So on and on. He says, look, you deal in issues, and you take things to the law, and you allow other people to judge for you when you should have the ability to work it out. Why? Because you're going to judge angels. You have the ability to judge angels. So it's very, very powerful. So go back, go flip back over. We're also going to judge things of the world. We're going to judge things of the world, and I'll be more clear about that in just a few minutes. So, verse 4, we saw that, right? So, who's sitting on the thrones? You and I. We're redeemed. We've already been raptured. We're already taken out. We're in our places of authority during the millennial reign. Let's make it clear in just a minute. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Are you a part of the first resurrection? Absolutely. Absolutely, we're part of the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and happy. Smile at your neighbor. Because blessed and happy is the same word. It means the same thing. So blessed and happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, say that with me, the second death hath no power. Woo, glory to God. The second death that is coming has no power. Why? Because I'm part of the first resurrection. I'm part of the first fruits who Jesus was the first fruit among many brethren to raise from the dead. Woo, glory to God. He's already gone, prepared a place. So at the time of the rapture, I'm caught up with him and I'm put in my place of authority. Especially during the 1,000-year reign. Okay? So blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. Verse 7. I want you to write this down here when we're talking about the authority. Write this. You are going to govern. You're going to govern in this kingdom. You're going to govern in this kingdom. Now, we don't have a totality of what that means. In other words, I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Is it a state? Is it a providence? Is it over certain things of the kingdom? We don't know. That will be assigned to us when we get to heaven. But it does tell us that we're going to be a type of a governor. Okay? Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, I want to get to the kingdom life in just a minute, but you have to ask yourself why. And put that in your notes. Why? Have you ever read this and said, why? Why is Satan being allowed out of his prison? Why is the seal broken? Why is the chain removed? Why is he able to come out? And here's the reason. Let's look at it again. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. The reason he's loosed out of his prison is so that he can go deceive the nations. He can go deceive the nations. Now let me fast forward a little bit and get into some of the kingdom life and what's going to happen in the millennial reign, because a lot of Christians don't really understand. We, when I say we're going to be governors and we're going to sit on thrones and seats of authority, you know, we kind of sit there thinking somebody's going to be fanning us all day long. More pomegranate. Is anybody here with me? Come on now. Most people think that way. They don't understand. But it will be a time when we're still going to be preaching the gospel. Okay, so I'll explain it to you in just a minute. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. We got to go to the Bible to let the Bible interpret the Bible. I don't care about Mr. Know-it-all. I want to see what the Bible says, because God knows it all. Amen. And so let's look at some of the conditions of heaven. And this is going to take some of your attention and some of your time so I can get all this to you. And I'm not going to rush, because I was told to quit rushing by the front row there. It just gets so good, and I try to respect your time. Look at this. Verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. When? The last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now remember this. When he says the last days, that includes the millennial. There are some things prophetically that are last days. In other words, the time of grace, tribulation, and all those things. But there's also something that extends into the 1,000 years. Can you not, you understand, right, that years have days in them? Okay. So see it this way. The last days, that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now listen to what the Bible's saying. The Bible is saying that all nations are going to flow into the headquarters of God, into the Jerusalem of God, into the kingdom of God. Now, hang in here. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. This is millennial kingdom. This is kingdom conversation here. This is kingdom scripture and prophecy, that all nations will come to know of the Lord. The Bible specifically says that the knowledge of the Lord will be like the seas of the ocean. What does that mean? It just means it'll be so freely known. Well, who's going to be preaching that? Who's going to be telling the good news? You and I. Hang in here. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. That ain't happening in the Middle East. And their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So one of the conditions of the millennial reign is there'll be no more war. No more war. Let me give you another part of this. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. I'm just going to put this all in a box. I'm going to put a bow on top, and I'm going to tie it up for you, okay? We just got to get through it to get to it. Let's go. Isaiah chapter 11. Oh, man, there's so much good to read there. But let's look at verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall bow down with the kid, and the calf... kids in the Bible, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall do what? Lead them. Now, we ain't in the millennial right now, so don't send Bubba down to the zoo to go pick out your next pet bear. You know, some people say, well, we're in the millennial reign, and I've heard some crazy teaching before, and I say, well, why don't you go down there and grab a lion by the nape of his neck and drag him on into the house? You'll know right quick, like when you're missing an arm, we're not in the millennial reign. But listen to the wordings of this, okay? Stay with me. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. What happened in the Garden of Eden was the DNA within all creation was poisoned and cursed. That's why we can't get along with each other. Oh, y'all so cute. That's why we have trouble getting along with just ourselves. That's why we have a hard time, and we can live alone and be mad at ourselves. Y'all ain't helping me. I just don't like the way I look. I'm going to change it. I get a witness. The mirror is the most abused person in the world sometimes. I mean, sometimes I see my wife. She goes in one way. She comes out. She's wearing something else. I'm like, whoa, how'd that happen? It's like a phone booth in Clark Kent. You know what I'm talking about. I'm surprised more mirrors don't, dial 911. But the DNA got messed up. The DNA got changed, and everything was ruined. Let me give you a little, I'm going a little advanced. But in the millennial reign, the DNA changes. The DNA changes. Animals are by creation were never meant to do us harm. Never. Never were we supposed to abuse animals. Never were we supposed to cage them and all that. And I'm not an earth hugger and a rock kisser and a tree grabber. My point is this, according to the Word of God, there was supposed to be unity and harmony between creation and man and the Creator. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing God did, but it's all messed up, isn't it? So in the millennial reign, in the 1,000 years of kingdom manifestation, we're going to be able to wrestle with polar bears. I'm going to grab a panda bear and hug him and a koala bear. I'm going to have a panda bear in one arm and a koala bear in the other. I mean, don't you have some little dream that you'd like? Now, some of y'all are just too old now. You don't care. Get them all out of the house. Huh? I don't care. You just want, but I do. I want to see some of these animals and hug them. I want to hug a monkey. But look what it says here. And a child shall lead them. This is millennial talking. This is millennial prophecy and promises in Scripture. So keep that in your mind about a child shall lead them. So we know DNA changed because the child is not getting eaten here. And the cow and the bear, imagine that. Think for a minute. A cow and a bear. The last time I saw a bear program, he was eating a cow. And the cow and the bear shall feed. What are you eating? I mean, this is amazing. And they're just going to be hanging out with each other. I could just see the cow handing the bear a napkin. You got something right there? I don't know if they're going to talk, but you know my point. They probably will talk. I don't know. Because the curse is gone. I mean, dolphins, you can almost communicate with dolphins. They're smart. Well, he's really out there. No, honey, this is going to be phenomenal. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be the way the kingdom and creation was supposed to be. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The DNA changed out of the lion. He's no longer a meat eater. He's no longer wanting to rip your arm off. He said, hey, you got any hay? Woo, isn't that cool? That's phenomenal. It's phenomenal how, but see, this is the kingdom of God being manifested. Jesus said what? You could pick up serpents, they wouldn't hurt you. Now, I'm not telling you to go do them. That's crazy. But if you put your hand in a hole like Paul did, guess what? You're going to be okay. Come on, help me now. That's partially the kingdom being manifested. But now all DNA will change and the curse will be gone and we're going to be hanging out with creation like God meant it to be. And we finally going to tolerate each other. Instead of just faking it when we get in church. You know what I'm talking about. The mask you wear. We got a couple extra in the back if you didn't bring one. And look at this, verse 8. And the sucking child shall play in the hole of an asp or a cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. I mean, is that amazing or what? The whole DNA of creation changes. But keep in your mind what I said about a child. Now go to Isaiah 35. This is awesome, man. This is awesome. You know what's so cool about this? This is right down the road for you and I. I mean, we're a couple bus stops short of the millennial. We are just a couple stops before the glory. All right, verse 1 of chapter 35 of Isaiah. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. There's the curse being broken again. There's not supposed to be a desert. There's not supposed to be all this. The garden was lush. It was plentiful. It was fruitful. That's the way your life is supposed to be. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Can you see that? The DNA's changed. No longer thorns and thickets and stickers. How many are familiar with stickers? Now, you ain't got big stickers here in Florida. They got wampum stickers. These stickers, they actually leap at you, and you can't get them off until you bleed. But look at verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. That it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And then finally it says what? They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall do what? It shall flee away. Now finally go to Isaiah 65. And then I will get into more of the thousand year reign. Isaiah 65 verse 17. Look at this. This is awesome. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Please stop for a second. Read this with me one more time. Listen to what is being told to us. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into the mind. Everything you're going through right now will be forgotten. Let me try it again. Everything of negativity, every pain, every ache, every unrighteous act done to every child, to every person in this room, every sour word, sour moment, every tear, every cuss word, every hit, every smack, every stolen piece of equipment, nothing will be remembered in the millennial reign. All of it's gone. Former relationships. You're not going to get in heaven and say, oh, God, there's... Hide me, angel! It's Mike. That's you're not going to have that. You're going to be known as you are known. And you're not known as a wisecracker or a bad person. You're known as what? As the beloved. And so when you're in heaven, all of this will be forgotten. Man, I'm ready to shout right now. Because there's stuff I'd like to forget about, I have trouble forgetting now about. Y'all ain't helping me. I know how you act when you see that picture. Hear that name, see that phone number, come on, see that car. Is that them? Hey, it's not going to be remembered no more. Y'all ought to look at your neighbor and say, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into the mind. We're not going to go to heaven and say, man, I sure miss Toccoa Falls. Boy, I tell you, the way they built those buildings in Bowersville just makes me long for Cannon. That's not going to happen. We're not going to remember any of that, are we? Come on, when you get to the place God has prepared for you, you're not going to go, man, I wish I had my trailer back. Sure wish I lived with mom. You know what I mean? I sure wish I had the top bunk again with my brother who had problems. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, you're not going to remember no more of that. That's the millennial reign. That's heaven. Some of y'all too religious for me, but I don't care. I'm looking forward to place. I don't got to, because the greatest battle you and I have right now is not people. It's your mind. It's your mind. That's the battle arena right there. If we could fix this junk, we'd do something. But we're going to get there where we're going to be limitless. We ain't going to think no more bad stuff. Man, we ain't going to have complexes. Am I too fat? Am I too skinny? Am I too tall? I'm not too tall. Am I too white? Am I too black? Am I too green? Church, help me now. Am I too poor? Do I have enough? Is my car cool enough? All that's over. Verse 18. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Woo! For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing and her people a joy. There ain't going to be nothing bad. Nothing's going to be bad. Not one bad meal. Not one bad moment. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. No, the voice of crying. Man, that's awesome right there. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be considered accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. So you are not going to be repossessed. You will not be evicted. How many's ever been evicted before? I have. It ain't fun. Thus, you're lying or don't want to tell the truth. But if you, listen, what God builds for you, no man's going to take you out of. Nobody's going to move you. If you never had anything repoed or taken from you, it ain't fun. And they shall not build another inhabit. They shall plant another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Listen to what it's saying. As the days of a tree, so the days are of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall lie or feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. I want you to see something real quick here. Even in the millennial reign, the serpent is still cursed with the original curse of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, he was cursed and he said, the meat you shall eat, you shall be on the dust of your belly, you shall be on your belly and the dust you shall eat it. What did he say? That's going to be your meat. Isn't that amazing? Out of all the DNA change, the snake will still be cursed. That's how bad God didn't like what took place in the garden. I think that's pretty powerful. And they shall eat. Tell them I said, hey, they shall eat, or they shall be hurt, not hurt, and nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Look what it says. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, says the Lord. Go back to verse 20. And then we'll go back to Revelation. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that shall not fulfill his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be considered accursed. Now go to Revelation chapter 20. Now I brought all that out for a specific reason, to give you an understanding of the millennial reign. And here's the understanding of it. When the end of the tribulation takes place, the great tribulation, as we saw in chapter 19 with the whore of Babylon being destroyed, remember that? There will still be people alive when the millennial reign begins to take place. There will be still people who did not take the mark of the beast. There will still be people who will be in the presence of Jesus when the millennial reign begins to operate for those 1,000 years. And there will be children that will be born into the millennial reign. we will be in our glorified bodies. Those who lost their head and those who died for the witness of Christ, we just saw that during the tribulation, they will what? Live again. They'll be resurrected and be as us and reign and rule with Christ. But there will be those in tribulation who did not take the mark. You got to understand this. When we look at the book of Revelation and we see the, first of all, we just see the judgment of God coming down and the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God. It is almost inconceivable that anyone would live through those two things. Then look at the wrath of Satan for his last 3.5 years, because God's fair. Jesus, what? He operated for 3.5 years. God gives the devil 3.5 years to do the same. But even in that 3.5 years, with all this going on, there's still going to be people who have found a way to hide out. Okay? So they'll be ushered into the millennial reign. They will not be born again necessarily unless they were saved in that time. There will be unsaved as well. Okay? But in that period of time, there will be what? Population and the growth of the world. Let me show it to you and prove that to you, okay? And when the thousand, verse 7, when 1,000 years were expired or finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive, everybody say deceive, the nations which are in the four quarters or the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now this is not Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38. This is not Russia. It's just a Hebrew term for a multitude and magnitude. Multitude and magnitude, okay? Because it explains itself right here. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of them is as the sand of the sea. Now, how is that possible? If we just had 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation, the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God, how do we have them as much as the sand of the sea in the four corners of the earth? Well, in 1,000 years, they populated. In 1,000 years, they were still in their mortal bodies. They still had the function to make children. Now, think of this with your adult mindset here. Think of these few things. Number one, childbirth will be easy. There'll be no pain. All the ladies said, amen. It's no longer giving birth to a watermelon. I mean, come on, church. That's over. Number two, you don't need Obamacare or Medicaid or Medicare, whatever care. You don't need, so what keeps people from having babies? Well, some women don't want pain. Some people can't afford a baby. Insurance obstacles. So put it this way, the DNA has changed. The whole atmosphere has changed. Everything's fruitful, so the people will be fruitful. And so there will be. So now, what does that mean about the thrones? It means not only will we be judged angels, we'll also be governing the population who is yet to be redeemed. He said what? You are a king and a priest. So what we're doing here now as Christians, I'm not going to church trying to stay saved. I'm going to church to prepare myself to reign with Christ and to rule. If I can't get this body under control, then how could I ever reign and rule with Christ? So this is my training. I'm learning how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm learning how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm learning how to operate as a child and a friend of God, so that when my promotion comes, all I got to do is say, where's my seat? Come on now. And he equips me with everything I need, but I'm learning now. That's why you need to go to ISM. That's why you need to be in service Wednesdays and Sundays. That's why you need to do what you do at home and serve God and do outreach and whatever. What are you doing? You're training for reigning. Write it down. You're training for reigning. That's what you're doing. Listen, you're not going to heaven with a harp. I don't even know how to play a harp. Somebody once, I heard somebody say, well, you know, Hebrew's going to be spoken in heaven, and you better learn Hebrew, you'll never make it to heaven. I'm in trouble. I can barely speak Pig Latin. English is hard enough, and that's my first language, I think. I just looked at that person, I was like, I'm in trouble. In the words of my wife, I'm doomed. But thank God, the language we're going to speak in heaven is love. Do you see that? So we're going to be reigning and ruling. But the devil, he's going to go back out and he's going to deceive. I just proved to you through Isaiah, I let the Bible interpret itself, didn't I? That there's going to be children in the millennial. That the youngest, 100, is going to be seeming young. Isn't it? And that childbirth is not going to be a problem at all. The Bible even says children aren't even going to die. They're not going to die at birth. There'll be no abortion. There'll be no SIDS. Come on now. There'll be no sickness, no disease, no maladies, no malfunctions, no murders. There'll be nothing unclean like that in this kingdom that's coming. Man, that's awesome to me. And I know it is to you. Verse 8, you shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, multitude and magnitude, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. Listen to what it says here. After 1,000 years, 1,000 years of reigning with God, 1,000 years of not just hearing some preacher talk about Jesus and putting a little sock puppet up there and saying, this is Jesus. Literally, Jesus, the Lamb, manifests himself every day. He comes out of his throne. You see him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're looking at his nailed, pierced hands and feet. Angels are zooming and zamming, and we're in our glorified bodies, transparent, fine linen, glittering and glowing. There's still going to be those in their earth suit, in their normal suit, that are willing to be deceived and fight against God. I find that simply amazing. That's why I be careful. You know, people say, well, you know, I think they were saved. Buddy, you better know you were saved. You better know they were born again. You'll know them by their fruit. Well, I don't know. I like this guy, but I'm not really sure. But he went to Sunday school in 68. Well, honey, it's 2016. And if he ain't been in Sunday school since 68, he probably don't know Jesus. Yeah, but he's handsome. Right. He shall deceive the nations in the number of the sand of the sea. In verse 9, and they went up unto the breadth of the earth. Listen to this. All through the earth. That still tells us that there will be nations. There's still going to be nations. I believe part of our reigning and ruling is that we will help rule nations. We will help kings guide them and teach them the ways of the Lord. We'll lead people into righteousness. We will point towards the New Jerusalem and towards the things of God. We'll point towards Christ. See, our job, what we're doing here on earth, will be manifested in the millennial reign. And look what it says. And they compassed around the saints and around the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Ready? Poof. I dare you to go, poof. That's it. No, I'm going to get you. Poof. Can you see them? They all, poof. Nothing. He doesn't say a word. It's like he did to the children, to Egypt. What did he do? He sneezed out of his nostrils and that's it. I find that absolutely hilarious, and I find that absolutely awesome, our God, that he finally had enough of the devil, and he had enough of sinful man, and he gave man every chance, and he said, he may go, I don't know what he's going to do, but whatever he does, fire comes out. Here's what I want you to see in this. That is crazy. You know why? Because the devil is crazy. And people are crazy to follow the devil. You were crazy when you was in the world following that old crooked-nosed, watered thing. He was leading us all down to a path of hell. But this is amazing. 1,000 years with God, with Christ, and all the governance, and all the angels, and heaven touching earth, and I'm sure transportation between heaven and earth, just wild stuff that we can't imagine. And then all of a sudden, after 1,000 years, what happens? They're deceived again, and they come against God. What is that? Here's what it is. It's God's grace in action. What you're watching is the Garden of Eden again. He knows the beginning from the ending, and the ending from the beginning. And so what he does is he says, I'm going to give you a chance, earth, just like I gave Adam and Eve. This is your final chance as a free moral agent to either receive me or reject me, either accept me or deny me. And it becomes a kingdom or a garden experience once again. And what happens? Multitudes decide to follow Satan. This is, you know what this tells me? My God is a good God. Your God is a good God. He's a God of second chances. He may even give third and fourth. I wouldn't test him on 5 and 6. But I don't know. But on this one, he says, here's your chance. And people still will deny him. I find that absolutely beyond my thinking. And verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. May I remind you, it was not just the devil. It was all his workers and his buddies. Where the beast and the false prophet are, they're already waiting on them. And shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That is it. That is it. When I read to you verse 10, that is it. That is the finish of the earthly kingdom. That is the finish of the plans of God with the devil. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. Give me your attention for the next 10 minutes or so. I'm okay with the time over there, because this is very important that I get this to you. The great white throne judgment, we've heard it before, and we've heard it taught before. Jesus is the one who sits on the throne, not God. This is Jesus who sits on the throne and not God. I want to give you that example. Or that scripture here in just a minute. Can I do that? He's the one that receives the authority to judge the earth. But look what it says here. And he sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The word there in the Greek means to flee. It means to vanish. And there was found no more place for them. So the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. And then all of a sudden a great white throne appears. And everything else vanishes. Poof. It's gone. What is that? That's 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. I want to show you what that is. Everybody still with me? You know, they used to teach in the schools, and they probably still do, the Big Bang Theory. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe it really did happen. Surprised you didn't walk out just yet. Because it's going to happen in the future. Are you there? 2 Peter 3. I knew he was one of those. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What I just described to you is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking unto the hastening of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Go back. This is 2 Peter being manifested right before our very eyes when we read this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven, they flew away. They vanished. And there was found no more place for them. Woo-wee! Isn't that awesome? The only thing left was God, Jesus on his throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. I want you to look at that. It says the books were open. The books were open. If I have a few minutes when I end here, I'll give you a little bonus information about the books. Notice it says book, so it's more than one, right? It also means, the book means records. We don't know if it's an actual book. I doubt it's a scroll. It could be some type of super whatever. But God has the brains and the power and the knowledge to remember everything. But it means records, just for you to know in the Greek. So it could be a literal book, but it could be just records. He could just speak it. But they were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead wherein they were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now the word judge there is krino. That's K-R-I-N-O. K-R-I-N-O. Krino, 29:19. And the reason I brought that out for you in the Greek, it means to pick out and to separate. To pick out and to separate. In other words, when this judgment comes, it's not going to be just a quick judgment, you know, bam, you were wrong, move over, you know, bam, you were wrong. It's going to be basically a complete review of a person's life. I remember when I was lost, and I also remember seeing this when I was saved. How many of y'all remember Chick Tracks? There was one track that Mr. Chick made. It was called "This Was Your Life." I don't know if you ever saw that. And it showed a guy living and doing his sin, and then he dies, and a big screen comes on, and that's his life. That used to freak me out, and still does today. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't want my life up on a screen. But you know what? That's what this is talking about. It is literally going to pick it. Your life is going to be picked apart. And every time that person says, "Well, I did this," it will just be picked apart. Picked apart. "Well, I gave." You gave wrong. You gave out of a wrong heart. "Well, I did this." See, we'll have no cover. Those that are not born again, they'll have no cover for their sin. Amen? And so that's what that word means. Krino, to just pick it apart and to separate it. Wow. Aren't you glad you're not going to be in that number? Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus as you're born again, saved to the bone? And the sea gave up the dead wherein, and death and hell delivered up the dead wherein was in them, and they judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. This is the final death. There'll be no more death after this. There'll be no more judgment after this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I believe Revelation chapter 20 verse 15 is one of the saddest verses we will ever read with our human eyes. Let's look at it again, and I pray it makes us pray more for those that are lost. And whosoever, your neighbor, your family member, a spouse, a cousin, an uncle, a grandparent, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. You see, they're judged by the books of what they did, the records of what they did, but it's the book of life. We're cast into the lake of fire. Let me give you just a few extra names of the thousand-year reign. One of them is called the fullness of time, Ephesians 1:10. The fullness of time, Ephesians 1:10. The restitution of all things, you can find that in Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Do a little study on the times of refreshing. Okay. John chapter 5, 22 and 27 speaks as Jesus being the judge. These are some scriptures I want to give to you so you have them in your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's the transformation chapter. That's how you know that we are going to be changed. So when we reign and rule, in Revelation chapter 20, we're going to be reigning and ruling in our glorified bodies. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Cool. We make this special announcement to you. Jesus is coming. Woohoo! Isn't God good? And then finally, I gave you 2 Peter. Acts chapter 10 verse 42. Let's go there real quick, and I'm going to close in just a minute, and I might have time to give you those bonus, unless we're being nuked or something, and we all got to run to the shelters or something. Acts chapter 10. I love when the Lord gives us sound effects, don't you? Acts chapter 10, verse 42. Let's look at this. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Jesus is the one who judges the quick and the dead. He's the one that God the Father says, no, son, you paid the price. It's through your shed blood. And so he judges the quick and the dead. Isn't that powerful? Amen. And then finally, let me give you, let me give you a couple books. These are a couple books that, that the possibility, again, this is from scriptures, is not made up, but when it talks about the records in Revelation chapter 20, the books, some of them in scripture are found called the Book of Secrets. The Book of Secrets, Romans chapter 2, 12 through 16. You'll find in there that God knows about the secrets of the heart of men and that they'll be judged according to their secrets. That's why I always tell you, your personality is what I and your neighbor knows about you, but your character is only who God and you know about you. So you better have your character right, because you can fool me and fool your neighbor, but you can't fool God. A book of works, Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. Book of works or records. Remember, it can be called records too. The records of your works. Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. And let me just look at that real quick. Verify I got that in there. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. So the rewards come from that. You'll be judged by your works. The book of words, Matthew 12:37. Matthew 12:37. Remember, we're judged by every idle word that we speak. Is that right? So there'll be a book or a record of our words. Also a book of conscience. That could also be found in Romans chapter 2, 12 through 14, through that whole teaching right there, that he'll judge according to our conscience, the way we think in our mind. And then finally, the book of life. We know that one. Amen? All right. Well, I took up enough of your time. I'm going to pray you out and speak the Lord's blessing over you. Heavenly Father,